Hey guys.
Hey guys.
Hey guys.
Hey guys.
That third one and that fourth one was not Brian Colbert Kennedy.
Hey guys. It's me, Brian.
Yeah, do your best Brian impression.
Hey guys. It's me, Brian Colbert Kennedy.
Mine is slightly visual too, so I apologize for those listening. Hey guys. I swooped my hair and I played with my hair nonstop.
Hey guys, it's me, Brian.
Actually, this is another one here too. For those listening, I just put my hair up in a man bun.
Oh, nice.
It didn't say hey, I forgot. I was just, what's up?
For those listening, I painted all my toenails.
Well, Brian is not here.
Again.
So it's just Josh and I, so you're pretty sure you probably know what that's going to get you. So I hope you enjoy episode 22. Speaking of Josh and me, I am Leo Albert Kovalik Jr., one of your hosts.
I am Josh Patton, one of your other hosts.
And let's just take a quick moment to remember Brian.
An extremely quick moment. All right. All right. That.
Yep. That's not going to happen. We're not going to do that again.
Takes too long.
Brian is just in Chicago, so he's not dead, kidnapped, molested. Could be molested. I hope. Yeah. I mean, he also probably hopes to. But yeah, we're here. We're going to be doing episode 23. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm also pretty excited about the fact that this is our first episode that is really sponsored.
Yeah, we have a legitimate sponsor this time.
Sponsor that's not a joke that goes over everyone's head and then falls super flat. I don't know what I could be talking about. So I'm going to read our copy here from our lovely, and by the way, this is our first ever sponsor, so I'm very excited about this. And congratulations, Josh, you as well.
Hey, man, half congrats to you.
Well, thank you, and half congrats to you, which leaves no other extra congrats for anyone else.
Hey, I mean, if you're not on the sponsored podcast, you get no congrats.
That is true. All right. The Crazy Clean Soap Company offers soaps, scrubs, and other bath products that are handmade in sunny Los Angeles, California, using natural ingredients, colorants, and exfoliants. From now until June 14th, this part is huge. Let me just tell you, especially since what has been happening recently. From now until June 14th, 10% of their proceeds will be forwarded to the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Whoa!
Last week, so what we were talking about, obviously, we're all kind of feeling the burnish.
Political showers.
Political showers, but just know that you buy these soaps, not only are you donating to an awesome cause, and you're also helping a small business. So let's keep going. Good for your shower, great for your skin. Get crazy clean at the Crazy Clean Soap Company. A couple little things here. Their website is www.crazycleansoap.com. Order direct from their Etsy shop. I'm not familiar with Etsy. I think
Etsy is a site where people create their own goods, whether it's like art or products like functioning things like soap, and you just sell it yourself. So instead of like eBay, it's just kind of like an online store where you can just sell. So if you buy something on Etsy, you're buying it directly from the person who made it.
Oh, okay. So it's like a great way for small businesses to get out there and stuff.
They've got some cool stuff. I think that's where got like a video game poster or something for you or something like that. Oh. Something on Etsy. It's just an artist made.
That's super cool. All right. Well, yeah, go check her out at www.etsy.com/shop/crazycleansoap. Also give them a like on Facebook, because that's what everybody's doing, the Crazy Clean Soap Company. And then, of course, follow them on Instagram and on Twitter, which is huge, because obviously people use the Twitter, Josh.
Man, people are a big fan of Twitter.
People are a fan of Twitter. Instagram and Twitter, at Crazy Clean Soap. Many, many, many thanks and kisses and hugs in advance, and let me just thank you. We'll just stick to the Crazy Clean Soap Company. But the girl who reached out to us is amazing. She's a listener.
I said her name multiple times in the last
episode. Okay, good. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. But she is a listener. Please go support small business. Support her. She's out there with the entrepreneurial spirit. Is that right?
I think it's pronounced business.
Okay. Entrepreneurial spirit. So get out there. Again, Crazy Clean Soap Company. I'm going to go check out this Etsy.
Yeah, they got lots of cool stuff on there.
And we have a couple products that she let us use here.
Got some sample soaps.
The one I'm going to steal is called the Salty Dog. So when you go on Etsy, if you tweet at me and the soap company at the same time, we could figure out when we can use the soaps together.
Ooh, simultaneous soaping?
Yeah, so I'll know, like, hey, I'm gonna shower at 5. What time?
Pacific.
5, 2? Yep. Yeah, and then we'll know that we're rubbing salty dog soap on ourselves at the same time.
And that's a feeling that'll never go away.
Yeah, for sure. Or if you would like, for just if you buy all of her product, mm-hmm. like literally clean her store out, I'll go to your house and shower with you.
Oh, wow. And I think if you bought their entire inventory, I feel like you just guaranteed a win for Bernie Sanders.
For sure. So definitely get out there and do that. And you have my word.
Oh, wow.
You have my word.
I have used one of these soaps already.
Tell me about it. Which one did you use?
I used Pipe Smoke.
Ooh.
And the description for Pipe Smoke is wispy black swirls mimic the gray puffs of smoke from your grandfather's pipe with all the expected skin-loving benefits of our other man soaps, but with the power punch of detoxifying free radical absorbing activated charcoal, a customer favorite.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give it a sniff. Smells great.
Smells real good.
Smells real good.
Would you like to sniff me and see if I compare?
Yes. Actually, it does smell very good on the skin. I got to be honest. Now, here we come with the honesty bombs.
You haven't showered in a week.
Yeah, I haven't showered in a week. Look at me. No, I don't really like bar soaps.
What do you typically use? Body wash?
Yeah, like liquid body wash. But this might change that.
I don't like body wash.
Really?
Well, I feel like it would help if I had a loofah.
Let's talk about this.
Let's
talk about shower preferences.
See, my problem is, well, one, I don't have a loofah. Do you use a loofah?
I don't have a loofah.
So you just put the body wash directly on your skin, like shampoo?
Yeah, well, I'll rub it first and like get it already soppy and wet, and then, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And then I'll rub it on myself.
I feel like I can never get it completely rinsed off of me.
It does.
I feel like I have like this like thin layer of like slime or grime from the stuff on me after the shower.
I guess I take longer showers and I'm just like sitting there letting it all drain off anyway. But I agree. There is that little natural slime. But I think for me, it's just like, okay, that must be good.
It must be a positive slime.
I can't be rubbing bad slime on me.
So I always use bar soap and I tried one of these. One cool feature that I don't know why I've never seen a bar soap thing to do this. They're shaped like squares. So I feel like that in itself is going to prevent a lot of slippage and dropping of soaps when they
shucks.
Oh, man, no more showering together.
You're going to get a hold on to that soap.
So it, you know, it sits very easily on the shower shelf or whatever you prop your soap on.
My loofah. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, wait, I don't have one. Uh-oh. I'm caught in a lie.
And it has some tiny little, at least the one I use, it feels like it has little beads or something in there that when you, you know, scrub it. It's really getting you clean.
A little exfoliant?
Yes, I feel really exfoled.
Nice, dude. I can tell. You look good. So again, Crazy Clean Soap Company. This is episode 23, I think. A big thanks to her for sponsoring us. We're going to talk more about it on our three-word reviews, because Josh, that'd be cool if you want a three-word review that soap you used. And another one, too, if you would like.
We will three-word review any sponsors who would like to sponsor us.
Boom. Anything you send. If you are heroin.
Yes, if we do get an episode sponsored by Heroin, one that might go down as our best/last episode ever.
Yeah, yeah.
We will try it and we will review it.
Leo really loved it. He actually can't stop taking it now, and he is out of a house, home, and everything. Family.
His three-word review will be on his tombstone.
Yes, you can read it there. Meow. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump in. I got a couple of questions. First off, Josh, before we get to some topics, I want to talk about your week. What was going on? How was it
this week? What did I do this week? This week has pretty much been taken over completely by one thing and one thing only.
Oh, yeah.
And let's just say the video game slump is over.
It has been destroyed.
Goodbye, depression. You hide in the back of my mind when I don't know you're there because I'm playing The Division.
Yeah, you stay way back there and you only come out when I least expect it.
Prepare to get repressed. I'm doing suppression fire on my bad feelings.
This is super healthy. So yeah, we're going to talk about that. It's going to be more of probably the topic, the main mm-hmm. focus of this show. My week has been pretty cool, pretty good, pretty much the same as yours, just kind of taken up with the topic of the week that we're going to be mainly focusing on. There is something that I want to talk about. 2 weeks ago on this podcast, mm-hmm. We went kind of long, and I wanted to – we should probably just stop because I think Brian had to run or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But there is something I wanted to read because this is mind-blowing. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. Josh can see that I have a massive piece of paper in front of
me. He has the entire Constitution.
Sitting right in front of me. But I'm going to read the headline, and then I'll just kind of skip around. This is 100% true. It's been running around on, I believe I got this from The Guardian. Scientists discover how to upload knowledge to your brain.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Feeding knowledge directly into your brain, just like a sci-fi classic, The Matrix, could soon take as much effort as falling asleep, scientists believe. Researchers claim to have developed a simulator which can feed information directly into a person's brain and teach them new skills in a shorter amount of time, comparing it to life imitating art. They believe it could be the first steps in developing advanced software that will Matrix-style instant learning a reality. Basically, I'll jump around here. Our system is first of its kind. It's a brain stimulation system, explained Dr. Matthew Phillips. It sounds kind of sci-fi, but there's a large scientific basis for this development for a system. So basically what they did was they tested two groups of people. I'll read this right here. The study published in the journal Frontiers in Human Neuroscience found that subjects who received brain stimulation via electrode-embedded head caps improved their piloting abilities and learned the task 33% better than a placebo group.
Whoa.
So basically what they had done is they took some trained pilots and they studied the electric signals in the brain and then fed that data into novice subjects who were just learning how to fly, and they learned to pilot an airplane in a realistic flight simulator.
So they are still doing the activity, but it's like they're learning it quicker?
Yes. From the placebo effect, they learn 33% quicker.
Okay. So it's not like you're going to sleep and then waking up and you're a black belt.
No.
But if you were to take like an intensive like martial arts class or something and you had that stimulant, you would pick up and remember and kind of have the muscle memory almost.
Because that stimulant is coming from already an advanced pilot.
That's
so
nuts.
It's like pulsing in there while you're doing it. It's making the connections. So this is pretty interesting. I'm not saying that in 20 years we're going to be like falling asleep and learning karate.
We might.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like this is insane that even just this little step is already out there and increasing. And it's really, I wouldn't say frightening, but it's going to be pretty crazy to be like, okay, I want to do this. Oh, that, you know, in 2016 that would have taken me 2 years. Now I can do it in a year.
That's
just
crazy.
Because there, you know, there's extra stimulants and you're basically, you know.
It's like your brain is primed to, like, take in this knowledge.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
and, like,
crazy,
like
man.
Right now, what if, like, you know, Stephen Hawking recorded his brain waves while, like, studying physics or, like, you know, going over papers. And then you could
go to sleep and then wake up in a wheelchair.
Oh, God. or wake up at one of the smartest men alive.
Yeah.
And if you're a woman, I apologize. I immediately turn into a man, a smart man.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Those are the brainwaves. His brainwaves are male, so you became a male.
So even Ben Franklin applied currents to his head, but the rigorous scientific investigation of these methods started in the early 2000s. That's just now 16 years.
Yeah.
It's like just started. And we're building on that research to target and personalize a stimulation in the most effective way possible. Your brain is going to be very different to my brain when we perform a task. What we found is brain stimulation seems to be particularly effective at accurately improving learning.
Dang.
So that's...
That could help like just even on a basic level, just students have better grades and stuff.
Yep.
If they're not good at, you know, retaining knowledge or learning things, you just give them a friggin' valedictorian's brainwaves,
yep,
and just everyone's just smarty pants.
Yep, because they're right here. It turns out that certain functions of the brain, like speech and memory, are located in very specific regions of the brain about the size of your pinky.
Whoa.
Josh,
so the bigger your pinky, the
yep,
better your memory.
Yep.
Science fact.
The bigger your pinky, the better your memory. The bigger your hands, the bigger your member.
Yeah, according to Donald Trump.
Yep. Oh, God. So I found that very interesting. I don't know. What do you think, Josh? Do you think it's possible,
awesome,
or do you think it's so far-fetched?
I think anything's possible. I mean, I feel like I'm down for them to totally try that, and I think it's cool. Because it's sort of similar, like, you know, more advanced, I guess, theory. Like, the way, kind of like how Rosetta Stone helps you, like, learn languages even faster, because it sort of recreates the process of how you learn to speak as a baby. Because, like, babies, like, in toddlers growing up, like, when they're, like, learning their language, they learn that language so much faster than we do as adults trying to pick up a second language.
For sure.
And that's why kids, if they're brought up, like, in a bilingual home, can easily learn two languages at the same time and be able to speak them both fluently because their brain is still developing and it can absorb that knowledge so much quicker as it's learning everything else about its body and life and how to function.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like kind of getting that information in on the ground floor, and that's kind of what Rosetta Stone they kind of market themselves as. It sort of like teaches you a language in the same way that humans learning to speak, period, you know, pick up that information. And so if it can sort of kind of apply that via chemicals or whatever they use to stimuli, you know.
Yeah, if you maybe take the brain waves of a, you know, person who is fluent in French, apply that to your head while you're learning French.
Or taking Rosetta Stone. And what if they did like the opposite and they gave you like, and like, you know, all right, here's the brain waves of a baboon.
Oh my god!
You just got like animal instincts, and you're like really good at climbing, but you're also like dumb.
Really good at climbing,
like, devolved.
You devolve. You turn super dumb, and you're
or like a fish.
You sit
behind. Hold your breath longer, or something. Oh, you start breathing through your neck.
I don't think that's possible. I don't think we can just develop gills all of a sudden.
You never know.
But yeah, if you were like the baboon, you just sit behind a friend and like picking at them, and like stop.
Yeah.
Stop it. I'm
like,
good.
Yeah, as like a prank, they give you like the brain waves of someone who like sucks at something.
Yeah.
Like it's a skill you're good at, but now you're like, man, how do I do this? I'm dumb.
All right, let me tell you something. Addition used to be so easy. But what is happening? I put on this cap that was supposed to have calculus. What is going on?
Sorry, we gave the brain waves of a 2-year-old. Oh man.
Oh, come on. 2 + 2. Oh, I don't know.
I pooped my pants.
Oh my god.
I feel like the possibilities for this are endless.
Especially for the prankster doctors.
You know those doctors pranksters? You know those pranksters who go to school for years and years and years just to pull classic jokes?
Just to pull. They've literally went to school for 10 years to pull one single joke before they got their medical license.
We got all
revoked.
These patents. We got these inventions we've made purely for the purpose of making pranks.
Yeah. We've been doing this study and the research from the early 2000s. And guess what? It's all going to pay off because in 2020, I'm going to get somebody good.
Subscribe to us on YouTube because we're going to be pranking.
This is a very long video. Shows him all through his medical school and studying, but then in the background, it's always him winking to the camera.
Go get him.
Amazing. Something else kind of more in our wheelhouse that's actually going to be happening this year, not in the future, that I kind of lost my mind about was finally PlayStation VR was dated, at least the month it's of a release, and the price.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. So we are looking at PlayStation VR, $399. That is the current cost of a PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
It does have two OLED screens, 1080p each. It's got the motion tracking. It's got everything you would expect from a VR headset, but for $200 cheaper than the competitor.
Yeah. So cheaper than Oculus, cheaper than what's the
Vive.
HTC? Yeah. Vive. So... I know that some of the games, including one that I played a demo of at the PlayStation Experience this past year, involved the PlayStation Move controllers. Will that come as a bundle?
Like,
will they come with it?
It might come as a bundle. It's not. They said it's not guaranteed that you'll need that. Like you don't.
Okay.
Only for some games that require that you will. Like much like you know, with some use a controller, some use
just because there. As far as I know, there are no like real PS4 games in general that use those controllers.
Yeah, so
this would sort of like make people have to get them.
Or the using the light on the actual PlayStation 4 controller itself, because that's kind of the whole purpose it's been there, is, you know, to set up the release of this. Obviously, that's just one.
But yeah, but I liked using the Move controllers for that. I was like reloading my gun and stuff like that by like grabbing a clip with one. And
so they say if that's the case, you should buy them now.
Okay.
Apparently, right now they're $25 on Amazon.
Yeah, because no one cares.
Yeah, and I have one still. So like,
you have a single one.
Yeah, the single one. But yeah, it's gonna use it to only make it better. I don't think it's gonna be a requirement for everything.
Gotcha.
Also, the really cool thing that I can't stop talking about because I can't even imagine what it would look like. But the cinematic mode that will be used for every game and even just running the PS4 itself.
So just you put any game that's not even made for VR and it'll make it more cinematic while you play it if you have the headset on?
Because you'll basically like you're going to be sitting in your own theater. So when the cinematic mode has three different levels of zoom, medium, large, or extra large. So basically if you want a regular movie theater or if you want to play Uncharted 4 on an IMAX screen.
I want
to
see that.
Yeah. You just set it to extra large, and you obviously you won't be able to see all of it at once, but you'll be able to look around and Early things are that it's not super crisp and clear like an HD TV because your eyes are so close to it.
Right.
But you know, we tried it out at PlayStation Experience.
Looked fine.
Thought it looked fine. It
The game I played, the graphics weren't obviously anywhere near as good as just a traditional PS4 game.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's just going to improve over time.
I agree, and I also think that's going to be the kind of the standard when the games first come out. Mm-hmm. Are the graphics aren't as good, but because they also have to render everywhere behind you. Basically, rendering means
completely,
you know,
360 degrees.
Yeah. So in normal games, what you would see when you're, you know, saying The Division, which mm-hmm. will be, we'll jump to that in a bit. But that only has to render what's directly in front of you, meaning everything behind you isn't drawn in yet, doesn't exist,
doesn't need to be visibly there while you're, you know, running in one direction. There's no need for them to process the data of the buildings
for
and everything.
Sure.
And then we turn around, they quickly render it.
Yeah.
And this, everything's just rendered all the time.
It has to be, because you could at any point turn behind you and look, and there's some really cool concepts. I think one that they also announced at the launch of it, they said over 50 games by the end of the year.
Dang. This comes out in October?
Yeah.
They're already at 50 games?
They will work by the end of the year with PlayStation VR, and they are partnering to do an exclusive with Star Wars.
Whoa.
So
what has it worked as far as like watching movies?
They said any movie that runs from the PlayStation video.
Oh, okay.
So you could download a movie instead of watching on your TV. If you feel like putting headphones on, getting completely immersed, you can watch it in your own theater.
Whoa.
Sitting in your house. And I will 100% mess with you all the time when you're wearing it. So don't
watching a scary movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Eating, somehow getting pizza in there.
Spook me. Get you good.
But yeah, the cinematic mode I think is something that I'm very excited about, just to, you know, for those that, you know, they even dorm rooms or, you know, just for those that want kind of a bigger screen experience. I've always wanted to play a video game in a movie theater. And now in October, it's going to be possible.
Could you play a PlayStation 4 with this headset for like everything you would need to do, like looking in like the main menu and stuff like that? Could you just not even have a TV anymore?
Yeah. They said you'll run, basically just be, you can boot right into the VR, so you can see the screen, you can check your trophies and stuff like that.
So the guy who frequents our local Starbucks and brings a 50-inch TV with him and sets it on a table with the PlayStation 4 and a stack of games could just bring the headset, and way less to carry.
I'm sure we've talked about that.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about Mr. Starbucks video game man, but this is going to make his day.
Yeah. $3.99 way less to haul around.
$3.99. And I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he doesn't like have a house to pay rent to or whatever, but he's a trooper, man. He brings a 50-inch plasma, sits it on one of the TVs, and play. I think the last time I saw him playing was Fallout. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
A little bit sad about that. And he likes Destiny, so that's good.
Maybe he's playing at a different Starbucks.
Yeah. They're like, hey, dude, like, maybe don't. Don't come here.
Yeah.
That's cool. He never really harmed anybody that I saw, but
except online, poning noobs.
So $3.99, let's talk about that. There's a lot of hidden costs. You kind of had mentioned it briefly with
the accessories
and the Move controller. You will need the PlayStation camera to work with that. I already have one. You already have one.
I do.
They're saying,
why do you need that? Oh, to pick up the sensors from the light?
Because it's, the lighting, they want it, you know, when you turn around or which way you're looking. Not only in apparently a gyroscope and things like that in the actual headset, but the lighting, it just makes it one-to-one.
Cool.
But, you know, people are complaining that $3.99 is too much because the hidden cost is a PlayStation 4 and a PlayStation camera. And I'm like, okay, so that's $400 plus $460. And if you want two Move controllers.
Oculus? Yeah. Like you have to buy an entire computer, so like a super, super expensive high-end computer, because like only a handful of them can even process what the Oculus does.
So right now, a computer that could run Oculus is $1,500.
Yeah.
The base. So people are kind of saying that's, you know, hidden costs. And I agree, you know, $500 with, you know, to get everything you could want with that is a lot of money for a lot of people.
Yeah, but who's, I don't know. I feel like it's a small group of people who've been holding out and just want to play PlayStation VR and don't have PS4s already.
For sure.
I don't think there's that many like, all right, sweet, finally I've been waiting for PlayStation VR. Wait, what? I still have a PS4?
Yeah, so I think that's the thing too, is that's kind of their in is, you know, there are already 30 million PlayStation 4s out there.
It's the best-selling current gen console.
So there are already so many out there that it's gonna be good. It's gonna be interesting to see, because the PC crowd is gonna have maybe the better headset. I think the Oculus with a, you know, because instead of running it on a $400 computer, you're running it on a $1,500 mega computer that's going to be able to push out better graphics to the thing. So,
But also...
Also porn. There's that too. PlayStation probably won't have that.
But I feel like same... You're going to have it both ways. So the Oculus too, I feel like there'll be plenty of games that aren't that great a graphics.
For sure.
I played a game at E3 a couple years ago. Granted, it was 2 years ago. But one, I would say the Oculus headset kind of hurt my head after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine they've made some improvements to it, but I would not want to have that on my head for a long period of time. Whereas the PlayStation VR headset felt fine.
Felt nice. Mm-hmm. Didn't feel too front-loaded. Basically, what we're talking about is, it's, you know, this is a device that's going to rest on the top of your head. Does have a nice padding. So we'll see, hopefully, what the final product is, and hopefully it's close to what we've tried.
So what if you want to watch a movie with PlayStation VR, but you want to watch that movie in 3D? So you have to put 3D glasses on, and then the PlayStation headset on.
What if you want to watch it in theater mode, but you also like, you know, the aspect of being in a theater, like people chatting, yeah. excuse me, like getting up in front of you. There should be a mode for that as well.
Yeah, it would be kind of like Mystery Science 2000, where you see like the silhouettes, but it's just random audience members, and they'll kind of, or like something will happen, and stupid.
Let's do it. One of them stands up, I'm out of here.
So dumb.
I'm totally out of here.
So does the headset, I can't remember, does the actual VR headset itself have... like headphones, like sound? Or do you need to have a headset on?
They suggest having headphones.
Okay.
But it's going to come with some probably like the ones that I use for
like
my
little earbuds. Like, okay, yeah. But there aren't, like the attachment thing that sits on your head does not have things on the side for ears.
So you putting your Astros on over that will give you like the most immersive experience because you won't be able to see, you won't be able to hear.
Yeah.
It's a good start. Good start.
Basically just making myself extremely vulnerable for attackers.
For attackers or roommates. Not to hear anything from a fire.
Yes.
But no, I that being said, I think it's, I want to get it to see a movie there. I want to get it because it's going to be what the Wii was when it first came out, which was you bring it over to your parents' house or, you know, your grandma's house. You're like, hey, put this on. They're like, what? Or, you know, try this. And then they go get themselves one because it's so incredible.
Imagine doing the theater cinematic mode at home with that other thing that was been talked about this week, that at-home theater pass to watch movies on day one, like when they're in the theater, you can watch it at home. If there's a way to have the VR headset so it actually feels like you're watching, you know, Justice League in IMAX at home.
I mean, I think it's going to be, because if you download a movie, you know, off of the PlayStation Store, download in HD, put it in extra large mode, and then put on your Astros. I mean, that would be the most immersive experience. Like, just sitting in... I almost imagine you would forget that you're in your living room.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole point of VR, and I think that's what I'm most excited about it, is just to kind of give an hour or two where you just feel almost like an outer body experience.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're playing a game, maybe it's in space, and you're in like some cockpit, and you're shooting down dudes, and you have the headset on, so you're... it's not even registering that you're in like your home, and you'll just kind of forget, and you'll be spinning around in your chair, like hopefully not falling out of it, but like there's a lot of cool things with it. And the PlayStation VR has that little attachment box that projects it to your TV as well, if there's anyone sitting around that wants to see what you're doing.
Yeah, they'll actually know what's going on.
Yeah. And also there's a lot of cool games apparently on the horizon that are going to, the person with the VR headset is one character, say, you know, the playroom guys who do the playroom had a demo where the person with the VR headset was Godzilla, and then the other three people that had controllers were defending the city from Godzilla. So that is super cool. That's super awesome. But yeah, that's VR, $399. Look for it in October. Pre-orders go up soon. Josh is getting it for me for Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas
in October.
Yeah, Christmas in October. Speaking of things that we have been playing, because Josh was lovely enough to get for me for my birthday.
I'm so lovely.
Let's talk about what we've been doing this week, the main topic of the week.
The Division, baby!
Josh.
Yes.
So let's each go over, we've played for, let's admit this, in public.
Mm-hmm.
I think mine said 1 day and 11 hours.
I think I'm like 1 day and like... 16 or 19 hours.
Okay, and that's in-game, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. So that's in-game time that we have been spent playing at this one solitary game. So let's talk about our when we first got it on Tuesday, early first impressions?
Well, my, I guess, well, technically my very first impression was play the alpha,
or
the closed beta. And I played that for a little bit and I was super into it. Then I played the open beta and redid everything I did in closed beta and was super into it. And then I got the full game and I logged in and I was one of the people who was having trouble starting because there are too many people in the starting little base that you have to like check in on this like laptop. And there's all these other players and I couldn't check in. It took me a while to get in the game.
Did you see any of the Reddit things about like people actually queuing up? And like the line goes almost down and out the safe house, and it's an actual line.
I was gonna try to organize that when I, because when you start the game early on, you start and there are multiple safe houses. The premise of the Division is terrorists have they created a virus and they laced a ton of money with this virus on Black Friday and wiped out, I don't know, 90% of the population
of New York.
Of New York, and so you are a Division agent, which is this secret agency that has like sleeper soldiers who will be activated in a time of crisis, and so you are an activated agent who is hunting down these terrorists in this post-apocalyptic shut-off New York City.
And you're anyone. That activated agent could be anyone. It's like your friend, your mom, your dad. It's like at any point in time, if that light watches up and they get activated, they go.
Mm-hmm. And so the streets, there are people who could attack you at any point just on the street. So throughout New York, there are different safe houses where you can go, you can restock, you can sell, buy gear. And so when you start the game, you start off in one of these safe houses, but you have to like check in with like the military, like to prove that you're a Division agent before you can head out there. And there's like this little laptop on a table, and that's where all other like real life players are trying to check in at the same time. And I guess only one person can check in at the laptop at a time. And there's this, it looks like Black Friday. There's a swarm of people all trying to like hold square on this laptop so they can check in and start the game. And I wanted to try to organize, oh, guys, let's just have a line, but I had my headset on and no one else was talking. But that's pretty great that people actually did that, just queued up a line to single file.
Because apparently that was done because they had collision with other characters, which everyone was complaining, like, why would you have collision? I enjoy it because you have to you actually feel like you're running into this person, where with a normal MMO, you have no collisions. You can go wherever you want.
Yeah, you just run through characters. But you bump into people.
I mean, it really sucks. Maybe they should have had more laptops at that point.
Yeah, they should have had like a whole line of laptops.
Yeah, but at the same time, I enjoy that there was a collision, because now it's never an issue, because once you get out of the safe houses, you barely run into players again.
Yeah, what if you had to like take an actual number, like a little red ticket.
Oh my God.
Then the NPC would be called out, right, number 82. That's me.
Oh, that's what you run up there.
I'm a Division agent, baby.
Finally hit square. Someone beat you to it. And they
get in line. And then like a fight breaks out.
Yeah, right. My early impressions of the game, I did only play the open beta. It's a cover-based shooter in a real-world setting. It is called Tom Clancy's The Division.
That is true.
So using that real world, there is a lot of, kind of hyper real technology that they use for, some of their, there's a thing where you throw a box and it heals everybody. It's like, come on.
Pretty great.
But my early impressions are that I think when I first started playing it, I first played the open beta and I was like, I know I'm going to want to play this. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I don't want to see any more story. I don't want to do anything else. And when I actually got the game too, I went back through and did it, and none of it felt like I had done it before. Like, it's new. Same. They changed a nice amount. First, kind of even, what people imagine when they first see a game is graphics. It's graphics, not 100%, not everything. But when I first saw these graphics, actual on my TV, I was like, yes. Like, this is beautiful.
This is a very good looking game.
So, Black Friday, New York, snowy.
Christmas decorations everywhere.
Yep, just perpetually there.
Just kind of have a haunting feel when it's just these empty, desolate streets. And then you have like these like Santa and Christmas lights and everything.
And like singing Christmas music sometimes like in the background. It's really good. The world building I put down as well is probably some of the best, where you would walk around and just naturally hear a story from like a passerby. I'm like, well, what was that all about? But it's like, it's nothing. It was just them telling a story to another NPC about like how awful it is to live in the quarantine zone. Because it is, New York is quarantined.
Yes.
People cannot leave because they don't want this to spread even more than it already has. I guess I would have to say the mechanics for early impressions are right up my alley. Third-person shooter, done really well. People complain that the enemies take too much damage. I enjoy that. It makes it more of a challenge, especially when you're playing, you know, with friend. Josh and I have played so far the entire game together, mm-hmm. At least like the main kind of path. And it's if they went down too quick, it would just be we're just burning through the levels. But there's actual challenge. It's maybe harder than it should be.
Granted, we are playing all the story missions on hard mode.
For sure.
But still, yeah, it is a challenge. There will be at least like one point in each major mission where we kind of struggle and have to like come up with different approaches. Like, all right, we got to backtrack. We got to set up some support stations here. We got to do something to figure out how to like clear this wave of enemies because they're just killing us nonstop.
Yeah. But yeah, graphics, gameplays, the loop is fantastic, which is collecting loot and getting, you know, better and better equipment for your character.
Which is right up my alley. That is one of my favorite things to do in a game is find and acquire better gear.
For sure. It's you're on a constant like treadmill of like, okay, I know I can do better. I know I can do better. And then you get that purple drop and you're like, oh, what is that? Like, you know, basically a drop in this game is a giant bright light.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like I said, it borders the line between real and not real. For like a, you know, a real world type Tom Clancy game, for some of the weapon perks and stuff like that. But it's, I think it does it in a enough way that it doesn't go science fiction.
Yeah. Just a little, you know, just some extra RPG elements to an otherwise, you know, third person shooter.
Let's talk about, I guess it's like, what's so far one of your favorite moments?
Well, I guess it's more of less than a moment, but more an aspect of this game, which we have not discussed yet. Which is the Dark Zone.
Yeah. What's the Dark Zone, Josh?
So the Dark Zone is an area in the middle of Manhattan where, because this game, for the most part, if you're just playing the actual story, is PvE. So it's just players versus the environment. You're fighting NPCs. You're not shooting other people, like, you know, other active players. But if you go into the Dark Zone, it is no rules.
Yeah, the Dark Zone's like ground zero from like where the money changed hands.
So the enemies themselves of the actual computer, the NPCs, are significantly harder. And it is the only place where players can attack other players if they decide to. So if it's not, you know, supposed to be, it's not set up as PvP, like Call of Duty multiplayer. You go in there, your goal is to kill other players. You can work together. It'd be like if this was the real life post-apocalypse and you came across another person, like in Walking Dead, like, you know, the bigger threat is coming across other living people versus the actual zombies. It's like, can you trust these people? Are they going to attack you? Are they going to take your stuff?
Human nature probably says yes.
Yes.
And on the internet, even worse.
Yes. And so when you go into the Dark Zone, you could be fighting a bunch of enemies, like computer enemies, and, you know, get some awesome loot, and then a player can come up and kill you and take it.
Yeah.
And that aspect of just always having to watch your back, not knowing every time you come across a stranger, like, oh God, are we ready to fight? And like, I try not to attack other people. I usually have my headset on. I'm like, hey man, we cool. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. And for the most part, people don't attack you because if you attack someone, you're considered a rogue agent and you will light up on the map and everyone will try to kill you because they'll get bonus experience if they kill someone who's gone rogue. But there are those groups of people. You can team up in groups of up to four. And if you're in a group, there's no friendly fire. You can't go rogue within your own group. But if you are a group of four and you guys got some good weapons, good armor, y'all can just walk around. And if you see anyone walking through the Dark Zone by themselves, which I don't recommend, I recommend having at least one person to watch your back when you're in the Dark Zone. But a group of four can just go around and just like wipe out people and take their loot and just kind of own the streets.
Which is interesting because hearing that being said as a possibility, you would think the minute you walk into that zone, knowing the internet and knowing human nature, everyone would just be immediately out to kill each other. It's actually been pretty pleasant this first week with the game. Like nobody that I have noticed has gone like intentionally rogue all the time. Like there's not like rogue icons everywhere.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty few and far between. Like most people are pretty respectful and they want like the help of others, which is kind of heartwarming.
Because the Dark Zone is pretty tough as it is and you kind of need to team up and fight against the other elements, and the loot and the gear that you will find is significantly of higher value. And just because you've picked up some awesome weapon does not mean you get to keep it. Once you've found some loot in the Dark Zone, you then have to go to one of the eight different designated extraction points, because anything you find in the Dark Zone is contaminated by this virus. And so you have to extract it, and then they will decontaminate it, and that way you can actually use it in the game. But in order to extract it, you have to go to one of these designated places, which you can signal a helicopter to come in and take the bag. So you have to make your way to one of these spots without getting killed, and then shoot a flare in the air to call.
Everyone will see.
Yes. Yeah. Once you've activated a flare at an extraction point, if anyone on the map will just see this blinking extraction point, so they know someone has loot and they're waiting for a helicopter. And once you do that, it takes, I think, 90 seconds
yep.
for a helicopter to appear. And not only do other players know that you are trying to extract, but so do any nearby computer bad guys, and you will get rushed every time you signal an extraction. So doing an extraction by yourself is also extremely risky, because you will be swarmed by a ton of computer enemies and potentially other players who, like, well, they know if you're extracting, that means you got something of value that you want to use in the real game, so it might be worth it for them to come kill you and take it. And if you don't survive the 90 seconds it takes for the helicopter to get there, you know, if you're downed, if you get shot, people can take whatever you had and you're trying to get rid of. It's just, you're just constantly on edge this game.
And if this sounds awesome, it is.
It's such a rush.
Yeah.
Every person you come across, you're like, oh God, are they going to attack? Are they going to attack? What's going on? And, you know, they could be in like an interesting formation where you see one person that's sort of like the distraction, and you get two other people coming up behind you, and they're really the ones that are going to kill you. You know, this person could just be talking and like, oh yeah, I'm just, you know, Just walking around the dark zone, no big deal. And then his group just like throws grenades at you, and you're just dead.
Yeah, I was playing once when I was trying to get out of the dark zone without you, and I accidentally went rogue.
Yes, that I feel like if you go, most of the rogues I see in this game are accidental rogues.
Yeah.
If you accidentally shoot another player, you become rogue. And
yeah.
So when you're doing an extraction and there's multiple different people who aren't in a group waiting for the helicopter because they all have loot they want to extract, and they're all shooting at these computer enemies, the chances of you accidentally hitting another player is pretty good.
Yeah, and one of my skills is a bomb, but one of you know, is shooting a whole group of NPCs, but in that group of NPCs I did not see was a non-hostile agent. So obviously I went rogue. I probably had more people chasing me than I've ever seen, like real-world players trying to kill me. And I was like, I'm not a rogue. And I realized it's not working. They just want to kill me. Mm-hmm. I activated my super, and I just took every cross street and alley that I knew, and I finally got rid of the timer. And that was one of the most exhilarating things. I was like, I just outran like 10 people.
Yeah.
Like 10 people I just outran, because my power move basically mm-hmm. is what, you know, you work through the game to get. You don't really get it till kind of later game stuff, is to have extra damage resistance, and I move faster. So if no one else had that, I'm kind of outrunning all of them.
Yeah.
Which I did, and I ran around a corner, and I kept hiding, and one of them found me, and then, you know, unfortunately, I had to kill that person.
you have to. It's gonna be killed.
And then, obviously, because your timer won't go down when you're a rogue. You have about, like, 20 seconds if you go accidental rogue to just get away. If you don't attack anyone, it goes away.
Yeah, it's sort of like in Grand Theft Auto, if you commit a crime, you get, like, 1 star.
Yeah.
So if you shoot someone on accident, even if you don't kill them, you're, like, you know, step one of being a rogue.
Yeah.
But the more... If you are committing to going rogue, the more people you kill, the higher the timer is before your rogue status will go away. And that's the longer that you have to survive. Because if you're in combat with someone, the timer is not counting down. It only counts down once you are not actively engaged shooting someone, or someone's not shooting you. So you have to run and hide and wait that timer out. And then once you're no longer rogue, then you survived, and you get bonus XP for going rogue and surviving. If you get killed as a rogue, you lose a ton of experience, lose a ton of money, and people can take whatever you have. So you really don't want to just go rogue willy nilly. You want to have like a plan.
Yeah.
And if you kill enough,
you should always have a plan when you're going to the dark zone.
Yeah,
is what we're trying to say.
And if you kill enough people,
I'm turning 32 tomorrow, and this is the conversation I've longly had.
Birthday podcast. Yes, Leo will be 32 by the time you hear this.
Yep, I am 32 tomorrow, and let's cut back to the last 30 minutes of us just geeking the hell out over Division.
God,
I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
If there ever comes a point in my life where I don't love video games, then I'm doing my life wrong.
Kill me now. Yeah. Kill me now. Let's talk about, it's kind of more conjecture. But we're going to talk about long game, where we see, you know, how long do we see ourselves playing this? Because we're not all the way through the story yet, which is pretty impressive, because we're, you know, about 30 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, just real quick, Josh did mention that you should bring at least one other person to watch your back in the dark zone. If you're ever playing with Josh, if you're ever playing with Josh, make sure it's not him. He will happily not revive you and take your stuff.
That is not true.
So just getting that out there right now. I want everyone to know, just if you're playing with 24_7, you might get patented.
Oh my gosh.
So just throwing it out there.
No, that's not what happened.
I don't know. I feel like it's pretty much exactly what happened.
No, by accident.
Okay. So, oh, so you're admitting that it did happen.
I admitting that it happened, because obviously okay. It happened, but not it was not my intent. So what happens when you get downed in the game, you're not dead yet. You're on your hands and knees, you can't shoot, all you can do is crawl around real slow, and people have the chance to revive you. It takes a little while to revive. I have a super that I can do an instant revive. But if you are completely, while you're crawling around, if people continue to shoot you, you're just dead. And then you have to respawn. And if you die, like dead in the dark zone, you drop money, you drop some experience, you drop some stuff that people can pick up simply by, you lose experience, but you drop some money and a dark zone key, which you want to hold on to open up
containers.
Yeah, you
definitely want to hold on to that and the money, and you don't want anyone to steal it.
But, and you'll also drop weapons and armor that people will have to go and actively take. They can look to, they can see, say you drop four things. They can look through what you have, and if they actually want some of your stuff, they can take it all. They can pick, just the third thing, but that they have to actually choose. So Leo was down. He was mm-hmm. crawling around.
Yep.
I was running to his body to use my super and revive him, but the second I got to him, he went dead.
Yeah,
and I accidentally stepped on his money and picked it up automatically.
Yeah, he said he uses super. I did not see any splash of super energy.
If I save the video, we could see it.
Well, if you did, exactly. Yeah. You probably didn't. You deleted it. Because you're like, I can't have any evidence of this. No one will know. And when you play by yourself, I'm sure you're doing the same thing to everybody else.
Oh, my God.
So, guys.
Well, everyone else is a stranger.
Just be wary. Let's talk about, like I just mentioned, let's talk about the long game where we see how long do we see ourselves, almost called it Destiny, how mm-hmm. long do we see ourselves playing The Division?
Well, I mean, I feel like it is sort of like the next thing of the Destiny, because Destiny was a very... That was the long game. That was a game that constantly had content coming out, had different things to do. Every week there was new strikes and, you could chance to reset and do the raid to get new gear. So it constantly had a reason for you to play that game even after you beat the campaign itself, plus multiplayer.
And as I mentioned, this is all conjecture. We don't mm-hmm. know what the end game is because we've yet to beat the game. So we don't know what's going to drag us in.
Yeah, we're not
level... Other than the content drops that they're going to have from now until the end of the year.
Yeah, they've already announced what the expansions would be, if you have the season pass. And if, we don't know. We haven't hit level 30 yet, which is the current level cap for the main game. And I've heard that once you are level 30 or once you've completed the main story, there are some like daily stories and stuff like that. I don't know yet. But I feel like once the main stories are completed and you've done all the little side missions in the main part of the world and collected all the intel, pretty much after that, I feel like the only thing that will be left to do would just be to continue to explore the dark zone and constantly get better gear, because there's two different level caps. There's the level cap for just the main game, which is 30, but then the dark zone, which is 50, and you can keep leveling up and keep finding better stuff. And I feel like you kind of just want to continue to do that. Because, when the expansion stuff does come out, there's going to be a whole new, subway underground missions. You're going to want to have the best possible gear
for sure
that you can. And I feel like this game is already doing so well that they'll probably plan even more content, because they're going to want this to be the next Destiny in terms of people of that loyal of a fan base where they will play. I played Destiny for year one. I played that thing the whole year through.
For sure.
Several times a week, even after I completed it.
I'll be honest. In my opinion so far with the game, I would have to say Destiny is probably more moment-to-moment fun
mm-hmm.
because I think it's a first-person shooter, but I think the mechanics of that game are absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's made by the same guys who made Halo, so it's like perfect. But the world, because the world was not fleshed out at all in Destiny, so the story and everything else,
it's all very weak.
The Division is the strong point so far.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I know there's going to be an end game, and I hope it's more than just running around the dark zone getting like gold stuff. I hope it is like dailies. I hope by the time I actually do beat the game and start getting to that point, maybe they've dropped like a strike or two or something.
Yeah. I will say, just walking around the normal world, there have been a couple times where I come across like a high-end, like named enemy.
Yeah.
And if someone has like a name, they're not just like Gunner or whatever. Like, they actually have some whatever weird name, like Cannibal Man or whatever.
Cannibal Man.
You can, they'll usually drop some really good stuff. So even just that kind of exploratory, like, oh crap, found this guy. That kind of has more of like an MMO feel to it. Like, oh man, people, word of mouth, like, oh man, there's this dragon up on this hill. We got to go take it down.
But yeah, I would like for there to be more content coming out.
For sure. And I know there will be. And I know you do want to keep having the best stuff because the raid, there is no raid yet that I know of. Obviously, I've not beaten the game. But when something like that does come out, I think that's when I'll be the most interested. Is, you know, when there's something so insanely challenging,
yeah,
you have to do it with like four of your, you know, the best,
yeah,
group that you can.
We still haven't even done challenging mode
for sure
of all the missions, which will be sort of like that. Each mm-hmm. mission will be like the difficulty will be boosted so high that it says you like have to do this with four people who are all level 30.
I'm wondering if the enemies will be like 32 or 33.
Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of like what Destiny did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the level cap is still 30, but you're fighting people over,
so it's even harder.
Yeah, but yeah, for the long game for me, I'm pretty excited about it. I know that I'm nowhere even like near tired of it.
Yeah,
and even Destiny, you were playing the same mission over and over and over and over again.
I got burnout with Destiny.
Yeah, and you're playing over and over and over again, but you was playing mechanics were so much fun that that's why I would keep playing that. And I just hope there's other cool stuff that they eventually add. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with waiting. Like, you know, if I play this game for 2 weeks straight and then take a week or two off and, you know, you want to keep playing other games. But if I take a week or two off and they have implemented, you know, some bounty hunt in the Dark Zone where everybody's only after this one guy, like something like that would be cool.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, a really hard raid, maybe just a couple like, you know, missions that are just difficulties ramped super through the roof. You know, who knows? So I think it's definitely they've done a really good job of laying out what they want. And then also they're going to give us stuff that maybe we didn't even know we wanted. Like
The
first big content drop, I believe it's April or May. Maybe
Which
May.
Is very soon after release date.
Yeah. May is the whole defend, you know, build your fort and defend it from waves of bad guys.
Which sounds awesome and crazy.
Yeah, so like constantly.
And unlike anything else in the game.
Yeah, like building turrets, making sure that, like, okay, well, that turret's going to be there, so I don't have to be there, but I'd be shooting over here because there's tons of dudes coming this way. So I think that cool, kind of cool stuff and kind of changing up the gameplay. But like you had said, this game is so successful, it's just the beginning. Mm-hmm. Destiny was the number one best-selling IP of all time, and that was 325 million. Division did 330 in its first day.
It did?
Yeah.
It beat
330 million. It beat Destiny for a new IP.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's like, probably because, like, but I would guess that wouldn't be the case without Destiny.
I think
people were looking for the next Destiny. Destiny had sort of like a slower build for its fan base, and it got all these people hooked and really enjoying this like constant ongoing like missions and loot gathering with their friends. But that, like you said, you got kind of burned out doing the same thing. And so they wanted the next thing. So kind of Destiny built up this huge group of people who were looking for a new experience, and
like
then
that.
Division was the new experience and just kind of got all those people at once.
For sure. And it is. I mean, like I mentioned, I've spent over 30 hours in this one game and I've yet to beat it. That's more than you can ask for, you know, you play other games, it's, you know, beat it in 10 hours. Like Uncharted will probably beat in like 12, 15 hours.
Yeah. Like I'm going to buy Uncharted
for sure,
but I know I'm going to beat it so much quicker.
Yeah.
And it's not going to have as much replay value. I just feel like the multiplayer beta was fun, but I'm not as drawn into playing the multiplayer of that as much as I would be to playing the Dark Zone and the Vision.
And I think for speaking of more of long game, I think if they added a deathmatch, which I have no idea, I guess it would work just like that, 4v4 or something like that, that would be incredible in this game. Because, and if they just gave you like a little portion of the Dark Zone to play in or something, I think.
Yeah, or just open up a new part of the city where it's just like agent training or whatever.
Oh man, that'd be cool. So, yeah, let's it's kind of conjecture, but if you are playing The Division and you are listening to this and you have a PlayStation 4, you can friend me on PlayStation Network at, let me take a wild guess, at Kovalik317.
And I am on PSN, Leo already stated, 24/7. So that's the words 24 written out, all one word. And then underscore, and then the actual numeral 7.
Yeah, so make sure, again, if you go to the Dark Zone with them, watch your back.
Yeah, because you'll get patented.
Watch your back. Josh, you created a segment last week.
I did.
That I enjoy.
Oh, good.
And we're going to jump to right now.
Which is called,
ladies and gentlemen,
Save it
for the podcast. And you have to say it just like that, kind of angry, but yeah. So what we do, basically, Josh, describe what's going on.
So Save the Podcast was an idea I had a couple weeks ago, and we introduced a segment last week, which is essentially any topics of conversation that Leo, Brian, and or myself would want to discuss throughout the week that's not on the podcast. But we decided instead of having the conversation then off air, we should save it for the podcast. And so if Brian asked me, oh, hey, how was your audition? I'm like, you know, save for the podcast.
Save for the podcast.
And so then we will address any of those topics for this segment, which is called Save for the Podcast.
It's made us better friends.
It really has, because we just ignore each other.
Yeah, we just ignore each other.
We just don't speak until we speak once a week.
Yep.
So we also open this up to any listeners. If you follow us on Twitter, you can tweet at us any questions. And if you put the hashtag Save with the Podcast, there's a chance that we will discuss that in this segment. If it's a quick question, we will most likely just answer it on Twitter. But if it's something like, yeah, let's actually address that on the podcast, we will do that.
And the question that we got this week, I definitely wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Also, again, follow us on Twitter @normally_norm.
And so we have a question from a longtime fan, pre-podcast fan, Manuel. He is a fan. If, for those of you who don't know, Leo, Brian, and myself, and then our other buddies, Matt Riggs and Rob Medley, we had a web series that we did for 2 years called The Wilton Way. And so Manuel was a fan of those videos and has continued to follow each of us from that group in our different endeavors. He listens to Matt's podcast all the time, and now he's listening to our podcast. And so he had a question for us on Twitter.
Also, I'm very jealous of where he was watching or where he was listening to this.
Right? So he says, his tweet is, he's listening to Normally Normal, flying home from Singapore. What would it take to get more The Wilton Way videos? Hashtag save it for the podcast.
Yeah. So first off, dude, what's going on? Great question.
Thanks
for listening.
I miss
you. I love you. If you were here, I would wash you with this soap.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I would just wash you with this soap. So it's a great question because I've always kind of thought about it, and I want to kind of go on like a realistic, what would it take?
What would it take for us to actually make Wilton Way videos?
Wilton Way videos, yeah. Again.
I mean, honestly, for myself, like, I am all about creating new videos again.
For sure.
You know, with the people involved who made the Wilton Way and make, you know, sketch ideas and stuff like that. I've been writing scripts just when I have ideas and just kind of saving them like in a Google Doc for when for when the time comes when we got stuff to shoot, you know, there'll be some scripts to shoot. But as far as it actually being the Wilton Way and, you know, doing it through that format, to me what it would take would be some company, some producer or something seeing our content and liking it and wanting to further that, you know, but on a higher budget or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, there's this, you know, new comedic, you know, site that's doing a lot of content called CISO, you know, something like that, where like see our older videos of like, all right, you know, the material is good. Obviously we had no budget and equipment to make it, but we would like to, for you to continue that on a more professional level. As far as acting like straight up by the name, The Wilton Way videos, putting stuff on that YouTube channel again and everything. To me, that's what it would take. Not, you know, so those would not be the same requirements for just us to start shooting some videos together, because I miss doing that so much.
Yeah, I would. I think it was kind of in the same boat. I think for me, it's the budget and the equipment, but that comes with budget. So, you know, you could do that on your own. You can make it look good, but if I'd want to do that again, I'd want to just come out swinging. Like, we do some video, like you said, like somebody produced it for us, and we do some video that blows people's minds, because the last video is, you know, some random stuff that we filmed with, you know, your camera still, and then now we'd have lights and all this. That would be huge.
Yeah.
I also don't know if it would play as well, that type of like sitcomish back and forth anymore. Like, I think the internet kind of has changed, and I think that they're now it's kind of just a different kind of video. I don't know even what it is, but I don't know if it's that anymore, to be honest.
I mean, I feel like, yes, I will say that the variety of web series and comedic content online, there's now way more options and variances on that. It's not the traditional just like web series of guys in an apartment doing this thing. But I feel like if we were to continue in that kind of style, the way we were going, I feel like it would still be funny. It might not be the most common form anymore, but I enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh no, I enjoy it too. I think it can still be funny, but I enjoyed our one-offs sometimes.
Like the shorts and
yeah,
stuff.
Sometimes more than I did. And I'm not talking like Keyboard Matt, but I'm, which by the way, guys, Keyboard Matt, or 121 Foot Rule, which for some reason is still getting views. Please stop watching that.
you must stop.
Yeah, you must stop. But no, I just think that it's funny, but like we could do some crazy stuff. Like
yeah.
Crazy stuff when not set. And obviously we did some crazy stuff when set in like the real world. I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah.
Because I shot lasers out of my hands and I never aged.
Yeah, I was saying, like if we kept going in that direction,
yeah.
I feel like...
Oh, it's, hey, if we're talking about getting weirder, I'm fine. But if we're talking about like keeping it dudes in an apartment, I'm like, all right, let's... First off, we got to contact who lives there again. If someone gave us a budget, I'd want to rent out the exact same place. So that's a good... I mean, that's a good question. Also... It's very difficult, and I don't think we stopped or we even realized it, but you know, Matt Riggs does a daily, maybe minute or two long show called The Matt Riggs Show.
Yeah.
Which,
on Facebook.
Yeah, if you're looking on Facebook, please watch those. They're hilarious. Hi, Matt Riggs. He does that, and he had a good point where he's just like, you know, we moved. We didn't think it would be that big of a deal, but it was.
Yeah.
So I think the energy that we had when we were all together is what made those things possible. And I don't know if it'd be the exact same thing minus Riggs or minus, you know, if he made it there. Because we tried to do that.
We tried it for a little bit in L.A. We tried doing combo episodes that dealt with him being in Chicago and us in L.A. We'd cut back and forth, but it just wasn't the same. It took too long to put them together.
Yeah, and it also, I think, I don't know, it just lost some of the luster and the energy because he's such a good character. And
the chemistry is not there.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, there is still one episode probably that could somehow be finished and cut together. That would be hilarious to see. the one with the garbage chute.
Man, I liked that one.
Yeah.
It was going well. Yeah, we started shooting it, but then I don't know why we stopped.
Yeah. I think actually, to be honest, why we stopped, I think all of us were moving.
We're moving. We didn't have time to finish it.
Yeah.
Living in that building.
Yeah.
But
so we finished in that building, and then we even thought about, hey, we still have keys. Let's go back and finish filming. It's like, well, that's crazy.
Yeah. And that one was continuing in that weird direction because it was like some magic garbage chute where we would like put stuff in the garbage chute,
fall
on Matt in Chicago.
We had John Lester.
There's like a portal in there and crazy stuff.
So I don't know what it would take. To me, is I think we would just, like I said, if we had a budget, we could get Matt out here, or we could all go back to Chicago. We film something, and if it's as awesome as I think it could be, then you know we keep doing it.
Yeah,
but, yeah. You need. Unfortunately, you need the green poison, as it's called in the division, to make some stuff work. And I think the quality of YouTube is and that's another, maybe I didn't make my point super clear there. We could not keep doing the exact same thing we were doing with the, you know, your camera and no lights than fluorescent lights. The quality of YouTube has shot.
Yeah, now there are so many more filmmakers making insanely good-looking videos on YouTube. When we were doing this back in from like 2008 to 2010 era, you know, our stuff looked fine. People weren't using, you know, mics and stuff like that for YouTube videos. And the fact that it was just the audio sounded like it was recorded from the camera in the room, like that was normal. That was that, you know. But now to see that would feel like you're watching an old tube TV compared to HD.
Oh, for sure.
And people, it's going to be, I feel like it would be distractingly low budget where it's like before you can even like pay attention to what the actual content is, you're more like, man, this is pretty crappy quality.
Yeah. Oh, wait, does this not? Wait, I'm looking at the HD button. Why does it not go to HD?
Yeah. So, but I still think for the most part, everything we made was still holds up.
Oh,
so
for sure.
You be the judge. Go to thewiltonway.com. And watch our old videos that we did 3 seasons. We shot at least one video every week for 2 years, which is insane.
Yeah. Also go to the Wilton Way's Twitter because I did that the other day and it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just recently boop, died right at, I think it was like February 12th.
Nice.
Or maybe it was like the day we were filming that. We're like, hey, filming this next video. It's going to be great.
Speaking of Twitter and save it for the podcast.
Wait, what? We got another one?
No.
Oh.
So this idea for the segment I had a couple weeks ago.
This is great, guys. This is great.
And so when we were searching for the hashtag save the podcast to pull up Manuel's question, because we saw he had tweeted at us, we wanted to have it ready, we discovered that there is an entire podcast based on the premise of this segment, and it is called Save for the Podcast. And the description is a comedy podcast where your four best friends discuss topics that would have just been texted to each other, but instead they decided to save it for the podcast.
Yes.
And their give them a shout out. Their like wallpaper photo on Twitter, whatever you call that, the banner or something, is a picture of a flip phone text saying, "That's hilarious. Save it for the podcast." Basically what our conversations were. Their logo is in concept kind of similar to ours, because it's themselves being drawn by someone, and it's four dudes, and their website is, we've not listened to this episode, but whatever, we're going to endorse it. Save it for the podcast, podcast.com, and they are from Ohio.
Wait, it's called Save It for the Podcast Podcast?
Their website, yeah, their URL is saveitforthepodcastpodcast.com.
Okay, I'm guessing Save It for the Podcast was taken.
Yeah.
But no one ever thought Save It for the Podcast Podcast.
And I don't know, we might want to check these guys out because based on their Twitter feed, we might have some similarities. For instance, their most recent tweet, hashtag PlayStation VR, $3.99, too much or just right, hashtag PlayStation, hashtag video games, hashtag gamers unite. And several of the other tweets are like talking to IGN, asking questions about video game stuff.
Are we doing, is this us? In like an alternate universe?
Like an alternate state? Yeah. Like Ohio? There's four of them instead of three. So yeah, I have to check these guys out. But they are on Twitter, they're at Save It and then the number 4 Podcast. Save It 4 Podcast.
So make sure you guys give them a follow too, because I'm when this podcast goes up, I'm going to make sure that I tweet at them as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna look at their website, save the podcast.com. But we thought it was pretty funny that the idea we had for a segment is an entire premise for someone else's podcast.
And there's also some other good ones on there. If you just go on Twitter and go to the hashtag Save It for the Podcast, there's
just
some
random
other
tweets. Yeah, there's some other that happen to have that
interesting things.
I'll look that up.
Josh, while you're looking that up, how about we do the world-renowned segment, three-word reviews followed by any sort of cat meow? Now, yeah. At this point,
I mean, I feel like to a degree they're all still sexy.
Oh, yeah, of course, because we're doing them. Let's see. What do you got going on this week that you want to review?
This week,
you saw a movie last night.
I did see a movie last night at the Vista, which is my favorite theater. I saw 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Nice.
By myself.
Do you want to review it?
Sure.
Hey, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Could you please give us a three-word review followed by a monstrous cat meow of 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Suspense. Mystery. Creative.
Oh my god, guys. Monstrous. Monstrous. Okay, so describe. Can you even say too much about this movie without spoiling?
I won't discuss plot. I will discuss more of the way the movie made me feel. And like that's, which is the first thing, you know, was suspense. You're very on edge watching this movie, just like I said, playing Division. And just like our good buddy On Edge on PlayStation.
Yeah, On Edge, what
so
up?
It's a very tense movie. You're kind of like gripping the edge of your seat and that kind of stuff. Suspense. That's what I just said. Mystery. I was surprised at how much I was kind of like wondering exactly what was going on. They kind of have some twists and turns, and you're just like, you're kind of theorizing while you're watching the movie. And then creative, because, I mean, the movie's called 10 Cloverfield Lane. So, yes, it involves the movie Cloverfield. It's made by J.J. Abrams. So that part's not a mystery. How it is connected is less straightforward, and I will say that's why I was creative, because I don't think I've ever seen a movie do that, where it's not just Cloverfield 2. If it was, they would have called it that. It's so different, but yet connected to the first movie. And I can't think of any type of sequel that just went way out in the left field, or it felt more like kind of like a, I don't know, like a spinoff, than a traditional like sequel. It's not just picking up
where the other one left off.
You don't have to answer me, but is John Goodman T.J. Miller's character from the first one?
Spoiler alert, yes.
That'd be awesome.
And it's not shot at all like Cloverfield, so it's not shaky cam or anything like that. It's just a movie. It's very cinematic, kind of, I don't know, almost Hitchcockian in a way.
Nice.
And the acting was so good. It's, for the most part, you know, very little cast in this movie. And so a lot of cool monologues are just like, these are kind of real moments. You could feel the tension and feel these characters, like what they were going through. And yeah, I thought it was really well done. I didn't know what to expect. I wanted to go ahead and see it this week because I've heard that people are really enjoying it, but they feel like they can't really say what it is about the movie that they enjoy without ruining the enjoyment of other people, without spoiling stuff. And so I was like, let me go and see it before I get anything spoiled for me and just have this experience going in, not really knowing anything. And yeah, I thought it was really well made.
Well, Brie Larson, right?
No, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Okay.
Brie Larson was
I get those people.
Which is another movie about, you know, people in a bunker.
I get those people confused all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Like, they look so similar.
Yeah, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Well, they were both in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Brie Larson was in the band, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead was
the girl with the blue hair. I thought they were the same person. I don't know.
No. Yeah, Brie Larson was in the band. I think they're both in that movie. Now I'm kind of blank. It's been a while since I've seen it. But I feel like they're both in that movie.
Nice.
And yeah, it was an enjoyable film going experience.
Nice.
So I'd recommend.
Was also, when you said mystery, was that how J.J. Abrams had the time to produce this when he was also doing Star Wars at the exact same time?
I was listening to he's the guest in addition to the director of this movie, the guests on the most recent episode of Nerdist podcast.
Nice.
And he was kind of talking about that. That was Hardwick's question. Like, how did you even do this while doing the big
space
movie?
How does he do any of like TV shows and all this stuff? I'm like, what are you doing?
So it seems like, you know, he tends to work with people that he trusts to do things on their own. And so obviously he's directing Star Wars, so he's much more immersed in that. This he's producing. So he said he would, you know, go by the set, you know, watch some dailies, offer some ideas, notes and stuff like that. But for the most part, he's like, you guys got this. Like, he doesn't need to be as hands-on when he's producing something like that because he chooses the other filmmakers who are actually doing it day-to-day, you know, from a, you know, I guess I would imagine a short list of people that he knows can pull it off without his constant guidance.
Yeah.
And so he just kind of, you know, probably has story ideas. I don't remember if he wrote this one or not. I don't know. I just know he produced it. And so the director, Dan, I forget his last name, Henzig or something, but they're the, I started listening to their episode of Nerdist, was like, just in case something spoiler comes up, which I doubt it, because I feel like they're both pretty good at keeping secrets.
Yeah.
But I didn't want even Hardwick to like, kind of like, maybe go a little bit too much into why he liked it. And so I was like, I'm just going to not listen to the rest of this until I watch that movie.
J.J. Abrams was basically the product of Spielberg. Like, he was like his golden child, and kind of gave birth to him. And that made me think of Indiana Jones 5. Is there a reason to be excited about this movie?
Is J.J. Abrams involved with it?
No, but I was thinking J.J. Abrams. Oh, Spielberg, yeah. Indiana Jones 5. And who directed the fourth one?
Spielberg.
Oh, God.
Did he actually direct it or just produce it like Abrams did with this?
It would make sense.
I used to always get that confused. As a kid, I did not understand, because Spielberg was such a name, they would put his name at the top of movies that he just produced. Like, as a kid, I thought he directed Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And I thought he directed Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. But like, that was George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
And Back to the Future was Robert Zemeckis. But it would always say a Spielberg film. And so I assumed he had directed all those movies.
Again, where do you find the time, guys? Where do you find the time?
So, am I sad about Indiana Jones 5? As right now, no.
Yeah, I mean, like,
based on my experience with Indiana Jones 4,
because they have to go now. They know it's not a total reboot. If it's not, they're sticking to the lore
of the fourth one.
And aliens are in this universe, which is cool. I mean, always more aliens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. It wasn't even really like the aliens bothered me that much. I was just kind of, I don't know, as a movie going experience for that one, I was just like, doesn't have the same magic.
Yeah.
And so I kind of feel like this one, like, how could they do anything differently?
What are you talking about? You didn't like the Shia LaBeouf swinging with the monkeys in the sky? Come on.
So Spielberg did direct it. He did direct
Kingdom's Crystal Skull.
Interesting. How did he let that happen?
I don't know. It just...
Maybe it was just of its time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like had that movie come out, you know, back when the other ones were coming out, people would probably enjoy it as much. But the fact that, like, I feel it's really difficult to capitalize on nostalgic stuff when it comes to movies and making current ones, because people's memories and the nostalgia they have and the love they have for stuff from the childhood is so personal and passionate.
For sure. And also sometimes wrong.
Yeah.
Like my brain loving the original Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joe cartoons. Mm-hmm. They're awful. But my brain, they're like, those are the best things on earth.
Yeah. And so I feel like, you know, adding a new moment to something that's been ingrained in your memory, you're like, you know, if something is different about it, it's not going to match up in that memory puzzle. And it's like, oh, it doesn't fit. This doesn't feel like the rest of the franchise.
This isn't mine.
And so that's kind of how I felt watching Crystal Skull. I was just like, this doesn't, like, I see Indiana Jones, but this doesn't feel like when I would watch Raiders as a kid over and over again.
But also, let's be honest, Crystal Skull is nowhere near as good as the other ones. Like, there's, like, weird jokes and, like, the comic relief.
Yeah, it's, like,
and,
more modern, yeah, contemporary.
That's what I'm saying. I think it was over its time because if it was made back then, like, yeah, it'd be a little more adult. But this was just so goofy and weird and like, ugh. I don't know. I did like the aliens, though, man. Anything with aliens, I'm in. So, yeah, I'm not also not excited for it. I just was thinking weirdly.
Yeah.
Spielberg and J.J. Abrams. I don't know if I have anything to review this week because I'm not comfortable reviewing Division yet.
You don't want to review your experiences with it so far?
No, I mean, I did that granted, with Metal Gear and it changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't make the same sexy cat.
While you're thinking, I guess I should review my crazy clean soap.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Josh.
Yes.
Could you please give us a three-word review followed by a showering sexy cat meow of... the product, which one did you have again?
I did something about pipe smoke, I think. It might have just been called pipe smoke.
Pipe smoke. Okay. Again, guys, of the Crazy Clean Soap Company. Their website, again, www.crazycleansoap.com. Order directly from Etsy, which I'm going to go on to later and figure that out. www.etsy.com/shop/crazycleansoap. Find them on Facebook, the Crazy Clean Soap Company, or follow them on Instagram and Twitter, @crazycleansoap.
Scrubby?
You ate it? You ate the soap? No. That's gotta say do not eat somewhere on here.
And unique.
Nice. You sing in the shower?
Yeah.
Nice. That cat does too. I'm gonna read the ingredients. I hope she doesn't mind of this because there is nothing I don't understand in here, which is fantastic. Because normal like soaps and stuff, you're like,
bipartite cronkite 03.
You know what? That's the first ingredient is bipartite cronkite 03. Olive oil, coconut oil, shea butter, sodium hydroxide, hemp seed oil, castor oil, fragrance oil, sea salt, and natural indigo powder.
Cool.
I will be rubbing that on my body later.
I will help you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So I said scrubby because, as I said, when you rub it on your body, it does feel like it's scrubbing a little, I don't know, grains or something in there. It doesn't feel like a soft, slippery soap. It has that little extra texture to it. I said, it smells very nice. It smells good.
Nice.
And then creative just because I like the wide variety because I feel like, you know, I just always buy just traditional bar soap, whatever, Irish Spring or something
Irish
like that.
Irish Spring, and shout out to Irish Spring. What up?
They have like 2 cents. It was like River or Original. And like this, like, you know, I don't know. I want to check out the site just to see how many different like varieties they have. But the three that they sent us are all so different from each other and sound like they're meant for different things. Like this one, this is something from like a gearhead. Seems like that's made
you.
Specifically to get like additional dirt and grime for like people who like work on cars, stuff like that. You just get all that, you know, extra soot on you. Mm-hmm. And this like helps you get that kind of clean, and based on like what you're looking to do, if you're trying to get your skin to feel softer, you're trying to do this, and plus they smell and look different. So collect the whole set.
Collect the whole set. And if you buy the whole inventory, remember, Leo will come to your house and wash you.
And Bernie Sanders will be president.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, yeah, I don't really know if I have anything to review. I'm good.
Have you watched anything this week?
Not like a whole series or anything.
Next week.
Okay, how about this?
Okay.
I'm going to preview. This is, I like to throw it on its head. I'm going to do a preview.
Can I guess before you even tell me what it is?
Of course, dummy. It's Daredevil Season 2.
But that's what I was going to guess. I would have been so right.
And yep. Well, I didn't allow you to.
Daredevil Season 2?
Yep. So, Josh, you want to go ahead and throw it to me?
Oh, Leo.
Yes?
Can you give us a 3-word preview followed by a dark and gritty meow of Daredevil Season 200.
Of course. Oh my god. Oh my god. The future. So I'm going to preview this. I'm going to totally throw it on its head, obviously. I reviewed New England Clam Chowder and everyone was confused. And now here I am previewing something.
Yeah, I was about to say, next week we will have this to review, but you're already getting right to it.
Yep. It's, again, a preview, so everything could be wrong, but I'm actually just going to say characters' names that I'm excited for.
Okay.
Punisher.
Okay.
Elektra.
All right.
Moves.
Meow.
I was blind.
Blind meow?
That was a blind Matt Murdock meow. So Punisher looks absolutely incredible. The guy from The Walking Dead, I think, is going to do a fantastic job.
He's a really good actor.
Elektra looks very cool. Maybe I'm not super stoked about her costume. It looks more black than it is red, but she's got that red thing. Well, whatever. We'll see.
Maybe she'll be inspired by Daredevil's like more costume theme that she'll be like, yeah, maybe I'll
to go
costume
for
it up.
Not that her costume in the comics was even, you know, maybe practical, because she is getting, you know, size and ninja stars throwing at her. Maybe she does not want to wear just cloth red.
Yeah. I think it's cool that they cast a Greek actor
character. Amazing. They're going full on Elektra.
Yeah.
Like, I know Jennifer Garner did a great job. But
so your third word was
So my third word, what was it?
Moves.
I'm excited for the choreography. I think it's going to be very well done if it's anything like the first one. And I'm looking for if they can even replicate any sort of scene like that hallway scene.
Oh, you are in luck. Because what's his name? Charlie
Cox.
I guess had a tweet or in an interview said season 2 will have a hallway scene on crack.
Jesus.
So I think they're going to up whatever that is to an insanely choreographed awesome thing.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the same scene. But
they're all on crack?
You see drugs flying out of them. See drugs flying everywhere.
So that comes out. So your birthday is tomorrow.
Birthday is
tomorrow. St. Patrick's Day. And then Daredevil.
Happy birthday, Leo.
Happy birthday. All the listeners, please tweet at Leo. Happy birthday. Yep. Well, I guess belated by the time you hear this.
Check me out on Facebook. Make sure, send me a fake birthday, like a real quick, just happy birthday on Facebook, because I know you're genuine.
I like when I get birthday posts that say happy birthday, period.
Yep.
Josh, no, not even an exclamation point. Happy birthday.
It's just so good.
So matter of fact.
I just stabbed myself with a pen. There we go. That gave me a little jolt. But I'm very excited to see the creeps on Facebook get at me.
Creeps coming out?
Yeah, really get at me.
So Daredevil comes out the day after your birthday. What is the plan in terms of watching Daredevil? And are we going to be sober enough at midnight of your birthday to start it?
Or
are we
going
to start it on Friday?
I'd say no. I'd say no on the sober front. Also, you know, I got a couple cool fun plans for my birthday, so I hope I make it to the 18th. So I hope, you know, I'm alive and I'm, you know, there and, you know, not dead on the 18th, but I don't want to call my shots, but we'll see.
Yeah, don't jinx it. Don't jinx your death.
Yeah, we'll see. I would like to watch it. I'd like to watch it sooner than later. And I'm going to watch the whole thing with you because I'm going to.
Yay!
Because I'm. Well, also because I don't have Netflix. So.
Yay! My plan's coming together.
Telling you. Wait, you made.
My plan was to make you think you wanted to cancel Netflix.
Nice.
I did that stimulant on you.
Oh, was that with that weird brain thing you put on me?
Yeah.
And you said, hey, dude, this, like, you know, make your cum feel better or something. And instead, it's just for me to cancel Netflix.
Yep. So then we have to watch Daredevil together.
But to be that, who did you get that canceled their Netflix? Who's like the advanced member of canceling their Netflix?
Because
you can't just get it unless, because if you did it, then you would have canceled Netflix. Or I would have known your plans because my brain would have been like, oh, maybe I don't want to.
Someone who lost everything from the economy. I was like, hey, man, I'll pay you for your brainwaves.
Oh, nice.
And they were like, how much? I was like, $5.
Was that the urge that I had to jump out that window, too? And you're like, hey, stop, stop, stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? Birthday guys. Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Stop jinxing yourself because he might get the wrong brainwaves.
Oh, man. Wow. All right, guys. Well, we're going to watch Daredevil. We're going to clean ourselves with soap. It's going to be a great day after my birthday.
And play The Division.
And yeah, and most likely play more Division. But for the Probably Sounds Awful podcast, episode 23, I am one of your hosts, Leo Albert Kovalik Jr. You can check me out on Twitch at twitch.tv/Kovalik317. You can go follow me on Twitter at Kovalik317. You can search me on Google, Leo Albert Kovalik Jr. You can go to my website, www.leoalbertkovalikjr.com, to see a bunch of my dream board, my pictures of what I'm going to look like soon. And go ahead and follow Save It For The Podcast, podcast.com.
And I am one of your other hosts, Josh Patton. You can follow me on Twitter at Patton_Josh. I am on Twitch, and this week I'm going to start streaming The Division. Probably like crazy. I kind of wanted to get to level 30 before really jumping into that, and so that my adventures on Twitch would be a little more interesting than just like collecting the rest of the intel. So just like my experiences in the Dark Zone. But I am on Twitch at twitch.tv/primordialbooze. You can search for me on Google. Just search like cool guy with sweet buns, and I feel like I'll pop up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I am one of your other hosts, Brian Colbert Kennedy. I am on Twitter at _BPCK. And you can follow my website at imbck.com.
Hey, thank you so much, Brian, for staying quiet over there.
You would not give me a microphone. And so, yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so much. All right, guys. Well, for the Probably Sounds Awful podcast, episode 23, bye.
Bye. See ya.